It's Sunday the 31st of May 2015 and I'm in Bahrain. I went running this morning at 5:30. To be honest, it wasn't much cooler than it was at 6:30 or 6 to 6:30 yesterday. But the sun was a little bit lower in the sky. It's very bright sunshine from about 5 o'clock onwards here, but the sun in fact isn't all that strong. There's a film of dust in the air, which is quite common here, and it's actually quite bad at the moment here. Anyway, I seem to be able to keep up a reasonably fast time, and I enjoyed the run. Did my exercises outside, and this afternoon I will try to check out the gym if there's time. This afternoon I have to come back here at lunchtime to take a Skype call with a colleague from Saudi. Now, just as I was finishing my recording last night, literally as I was turning off the recording device, my mobile phone buzzed, and this was my colleague Catherine McCabe, the other examiner here who I was going to meet last night, telling me that she was still at the airport, her bag hadn't arrived, and she was going to be late. And this is just why I never put luggage in the hold on a plane. I stopped doing that years ago. I've lost luggage in the United States, Taiwan, Japan, Hong Kong, and Australia. When I say lost, I've never actually lost everything or lost anything at all, but it's come late, sometimes up to 3 days late. And there's just something unbearable about not being with your clothes. I got into the habit of latterly carrying some toiletries with me and underwear, but there's nothing beats a 24 to 48 hour journey from home in jeans and a t-shirt, arriving in a very hot country, jet-lagged, sweaty, and not smelling too good, and then be expected to stand in front of an audience and give a talk. It's just absolutely awful. And I've had various experiences of collecting underwear and shirts and things around the world. Actually, the other place that I lost luggage, I just recalled, was Turkey, another hot country. It always seems to be the hot countries in which this happens. So you arrive there and basically nobody cuts you any slack. I mean, okay, they have a timetable and such like, but they don't seem to think about you at all. All they look at is the timetable that you've got planned. I say, you know, you're arriving and you're meeting the president of the university now, and there's nothing you can say that will deflect people. You'll say, well, I can't possibly because I need a shower, I need to find a clean shirt. Yes, and then you still turn up there. And the other thing is that nobody really seems to give a damn about helping you to replace your clothes. And the airlines haven't, in my experience, been very good at helping you out in this regard. I've never once been able to get any compensation, and I remember once in Portugal years ago, there was another country where my bag didn't turn up. I did get paper underpants, toothpaste, and something else from British Airways, but it was pretty inadequate. But I think they've stopped doing that now, unless you're in first class or business class, or you're a frequent flyer. But Cathay Pacific, my favourite airline, have certainly never helped me in any way at all. But what I do get annoyed about is, the way that people don't really seem to care about this when you arrive at the other end. Or if they do, and they're taking you to help you buy something, they jump in with fashion tips. Try this, why don't you put this on, why don't you put that on? And you're being encouraged to buy things that you would never normally buy. So anyway, that's a long way of saying that I never put luggage in the hold. It all comes with me on the cabin. I use the hotel laundries, which is expensive, but I don't care. In fact, hosts very, very rarely pay for hotel laundry. They don't here, they didn't in Saudi, and very few people do, but it doesn't really matter. I rather like seeing everything I've got with me and knowing exactly what it is and being in control of that, because I can't emphasize enough how awful it is having to wear 2-day-old clothes when you're doing something professional. So I'm going for breakfast. There should be a car to pick us up at 8:30. I'm just trying to ascertain clearly if there is. It's normally arranged by the college, but my colleague Seamus last night wasn't sure. I don't want to arrange a car and then find that one's turning up. But normally it's a an RCSI car that comes to pick us up, so we'll see. But there's no great hurry either way. The college is only a few minutes away. I find that you do tend to arrive too early and spend too much time doing nothing around these places. That's not anybody's fault, it's just the way that it goes. You need to be at people's disposal, I guess, but there's often fairly slack time when you're just sitting around. So I often feel getting there at the last minute is probably the best idea. So I will check in later, once the morning's work is over, and also report on my Skype call with my colleague from Saudi Arabia, because this may be leading to some interesting developments. That's my first morning of work at the college over. My colleague Catherine McCabe and I were taken there this morning to the college and then have a brief meeting with Seamus and then go our separate ways and look at our respective programmes, and then we meet again tonight. So I met with the staff on the Master's programme and the staff on the BSc Bridging programme just to discuss the work I'd been doing for them over the year and to look at one or two problematic students and give my view, my advice on that. And then I was given one more dissertation to have a look at and two scripts which had come in quite late, had been moderated quite late, to look at as well. I didn't see any particular problems with the marks that had been awarded. Did a bit of work, and my meeting with the president, Samir, was cancelled. He was called off to a meeting urgently. I think this has happened every time I've been there. He will meet me, he always does, he always makes a point of it, and he'll meet the other examiner, Catherine McCabe, as well. We'll probably meet them together. But there seems to be a real culture of urgent meetings to which people have to go here at the drop of a hat. And so I managed, as a result of that, to get a driver from the college to take me back to my hotel earlier than I would have otherwise planned. So that's good, so I've been able to get a few things done here. And very soon I'm going to have my Skype call with my colleague in Riyadh and see what's on his mind regarding future developments with King Abdulaziz University in Saudi Arabia. I had a very interesting Skype conversation with the Dean, Ahmad, from King Abdulaziz University in Riyadh. I'll tantalise listeners by not giving any details of that at the moment, but certainly there are possibilities for me there and probably for my university too, so this could be interesting and could be well worth pursuing, but details to be released at some other point, I guess, if I take up any offers. And it's interesting how business is done here, and Ahmad himself, who is obviously Saudi but had spent a lot of time in the USA, said things do take what takes a day in the West will take a month in the Arab world. So that was very self-effacing of them. So I don't expect things to move too quickly. But as I say, watch the space in the old cliche, and hopefully something will develop between now and the end of the year, and other things possibly for the future. I managed half an hour in the gym. It's very good, full of American naval types, I think, very fit and muscular guys, but all very polite, and they just get out of your way when you want to use something and call you sir, which is interesting. And now I'm off for a drink in the Platinum Club upstairs before we get picked up for dinner at the Ritz-Carlton. That's my second full day in Bahrain finished, following dinner at the Ritz-Carlton with the head of school, or head of nursing, Seamus Cowman, and his colleagues, Catherine Neal and Hannah Kadam. Hannah Kadam, who's Iraqi and works out here, actually lives in Hull, so I'll see her sometime over the summer. And Catherine O'Neill from Dublin, who I've known for many years, actually finishes up here in August, so it's going to be pretty much all change. There was a comical incident when we came out of the hotel whereby we collectively, between four of us, couldn't find Seamus's car, but we located it eventually, only to find it almost totally blocked in by local drivers who'd parked on either side and behind them. And then trying to get out of the car park, people had helpfully parked just at the entrances because they thought there were spaces, so not much discipline regarding driving or parking around here. Anyway, we obviously got out eventually and got back to the hotel. So tomorrow it's oral examinations for the master's course, meeting the president, who I didn't meet today, had to call off the meeting today, and then external exam board, and I'm finished for tomorrow.